Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Hi.
Hi.
Hey.
Hey, girl. Okay, unfortunately, I have a song stuck in my head.
Which one?
It's just like Taylor Swift's Willow. I listened to it once. It's the first song, I think, on Evermore. Mm-hmm. And now, how does she do this earworm thing where you listen to her song once and then you never get it out of your head for the rest of your life?
I don't know how she does it.
It's starring, actually witchcraft.
Starring Sarah Jessica Parker and Taylor Swift.
Starring SJP as Taylor Swift.
As Taylor Swift. She should play Taylor Swift.
She actually should. She's very whimsical.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I don't... Taylor has... She's... I swear she's made a deal with the devil.
She has, and she's doing some... I think there's some sort of scientific thing behind her songwriting, because she is the only artist whose song I listen to and it will be a one-time listen and then the song will just earworm.
Yeah.
And I can't get it out of my head.
So you think,
and I don't know if it's her or me, but I think that it's her.
You think she has like a kind of like a government focus group going on?
Yeah, I think that there's some sort of like, it probably has to do with math, which we all know that we're not good at, but it probably is some sort of equation that aligns with musical notes that then aligns with your brain and like certain parts of your brain to then game you into being obsessed with her music.
Yeah. No, she has. It's uncanny. Someone was telling me recently about, I guess there's a documentary on one of the streaming services about some British band. Was it British or a Russian band or something? That basically made a deal with the government to like write a song that was like anti-communist or something. And it like, it was just, I forget which, it's some famous song that we all know, but it's like, it was actually written
in conjunction with
the like, government.
The CIA.
To like, yeah. To like, sort of spread pro-national, like anti, like pro-capitalist, anti-communist sentiments during like the Cold War. I think I heard that.
I'll bet there are a lot of artists that like are both industry plants and they have deals with the government to do like subliminal messages in their song.
Yeah, like Taylor Swift.
I swear to God, there's, because I like some of her music. Like I think it's good. And I listened to it, but the way that it the way that it implants itself in my brain is like there's something up with that. So I just hope that someone looks into it. 2021.
I'm trying to look up what the...
the real pandemic, Taylor infecting us with her music.
I was just trying to look up what band that... I heard it wrong, but I swear it was some band. They were like a one-hit wonder or something, and they basically made a deal with the government.
Love that for them.
Yeah.
They made money off of that.
More than money, they made influence.
Ooh, you can't put a price on that. We all know it. I'm Lara, and you're listening to
Sexy
Unique Podcast.
Salty Utah Queens. And we're back. We're back in Salt Lake City. How are you? Let's do a little like
check-in,
mid-season check-in. How are you doing with this season?
I'm up and down. Like sometimes I have moments that feel like true elation. Mm-hmm. And then like this week's episode I thought was pretty boring.
Boring. A wash.
Yeah. And Mary... like, I think the show honestly revolves around her. If she wasn't on, I would probably have fallen off by now.
Yeah. My mom actually, because, just right before we recorded, my mom called me to do a little recap of... she did a check-in.
I love. What's Dorothy's truth?
She doesn't like it. She thinks Whitney's really dark, and she thinks... She's like, I just can't... She's like, I just don't understand Mary. And then she said, and that Brooks, she goes, I don't like that kid.
Brooks truly like makes me shudder deep inside. And I always put myself in the situation of like, what if this were my child?
Yeah. Well, and last night
I had a vision of me like as a mom locking myself in my room so that he couldn't get to me. Like he would have to be, he's mean and annoying.
He's mean to Meredith.
He's mean to Meredith, and also it's like, show up on time to your fashion show.
It's not your mom's fault, bitch.
Yeah. Were you like sewed? Also, I think that Brooks is channeling. I think that he's possessed, actually.
There was a moment.
I think he's absolutely possessed. He summoned chaos and the devil himself when they were like getting ready. Like, he's like Carrie level. Like, he... create, like, I think that there's something energetically, I'm not even joking, like, I think that there, he has that energy,
right?
And he summoned like a flood from the toilet. He summoned the alarms to go off and for the dog to just like shit all over the floor.
I actually was thinking that's so funny, because I was like, there is some sort of like spectral/poltergeist activity. Those are all signs of poltergeist.
Yeah, I think Brooks has an attachment to him or something, like a spirit, a daemon, or
a daemon.
Some sort of unprocessed energy has attached itself to him. And he's like morbidly calm at all times.
He has his affectation is so flat. He also, there was this one moment when you saw him from the side and he had his gold under eye, mask on and his cream on his face, and I saw Vincent D'Onofrio in the cell.
Yeah, he's very cell.
He's very the cell. And also Meredith's home looks like a mausoleum.
I kind of like it, except I'm haunted by the bear every time I see it. There's some sort of like I like that dark energy, and I think let's shift focus into the mystery of the bear painting and what that's bringing to the house.
Right.
And the mystery of Brooks's demonic possession and what that is bringing to the world.
So we're doing a switch, because in the beginning I was into Meredith's home and you were not. And now it seems the tides have changed.
Now I'm into it.
I find it. There's a shadow over the house.
Yeah. And I'm being called to it.
I just have the feeling the house is like always cold. and like you can never get warm in there. It has a cold, like it's probably smells really nice, and like, well, maybe not after that day when the shit water was everywhere, but and the dog's shitting on the floor. I love when the dogs, when they the camera zooms in on just like the turds in a line, and you just hear Brooks go, "What is that?"
I love when he goes,
"It's shit. It's dog shit.
It's dog shit.
It's poop, Brooks.
It's shit from the dog."
Yeah, grow up.
The dog shit on the floor.
Because they're stressed, because dogs are barometers for anxiety, and they're feeling very unsafe because they're feeling like a sort of molecular dread from your voice.
Exactly. That dog was feeling crazy unsafe.
Yeah.
That wasn't even a pile of poop. It was like a running line of a dog just being like, and like just pooping one after another in a line, and then barking for freedom, barking to the gods, staring out the window, saying, "Take me, take me."
It was like,
get me away from here.
It was like food god shit.
It was some food god shit. Bonus heads will know. Bonus heads will know that reference. Join bonus episode dropping tomorrow. Join on Patreon, patreon.com/sexunitepodcast. It was a scared shit. I know my shit, and that shit said,
"No,
I'm terrified."
Dogs are like they feel energy so much more than we do, and they like that dog was terrified, and Meredith was terrified.
And Meredith kept her distance from him too. Like,
I liked that being firm with him, being like, "It's not my job. You need to be professional." I liked when she said that. "You need to be professional, Brooks. It's not your mother's job to call the woman.
You need to call and tell them you're late yourself."
Yeah, I was like, good. I love
she shouts down from the top of the house. Yeah. I would stay at least a floor away from my son if it was Brooks.
Can you imagine them quarantining together?
Would be a really good horror movie, actually, is like a fabulous mother and her gay demonic son trapped in a huge mansion with possession thrown into the mix during a pandemic.
Let's write it.
And it's like, is there a pandemic? A ghost? What is this energy? They can't escape each other. Is there a pandemic?
Is there a pandemic? No, I'm just kidding. I'm kidding. Another bonus episode reference for all our QAnon watch continues.
Oh my God. I want to know how many of the listeners are cuties. Identify yourself. Slide into my DMs and just say, "I'm a cutie," if you follow QAnon. I just want to know.
We're not going to shame you.
No, that's your journey and your choice to subscribe.
I don't support it, but.
But I love to know it.
But I want to hear.
I want to hear what you have to say.
Yeah, that is that's very like burnt offerings, like 1970s horror, just like this glam matriarch and her kind of ghoulish son. Yeah, he's had work done.
Yeah, I think so.
He's been
plucked. He also had a platinum blonde moment, which meant he went through something and all was not right.
He did. Yeah, I loved his, like, I mean, he's like a very, like, he has, like, beautiful features.
He's a very attractive guy.
They're a very beautiful family. It's he has good genes. He's handsome, like, but and just that, the way, like, that only, truly only, like, a spoiled white kid would talk to their parent. Is like you just felt it with Brooks, like just that being like, "Mom, no, can we stop?" Mom, like you've heard, like just hearing like those times where you just hear your friends and you're just like, "Oh, that's how they talk to their that's how they talk to their parents." You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, we've all been brats, but like
we've all been brats.
We've all been fucking horrible to our parents, but like. When you're 21 years old, like that should not happen anymore.
Especially if a camera's rolling.
Yeah,
that's the time that I'm like nice and would be the funniest to my parents because I want to endear the public to me and get them on Team Lars.
Brooks had the chance to get a weary nation behind him. Like, he had the chance to be the one, and he had everything going for him, and he's so far, maybe he'll turn a page and maybe he'll turn a corner, but right now I'm lost.
I feel like Tyra, we were all rooting for you.
Truly.
We were.
Never in my life have I yelled at a girl like this. That's what I would say to Brooks.
Mm-hmm. I would say,
when my mother yelled at me like this, it's because she loved me.
Never in my life have I yelled at a girl like this.
Never in my life. Brooks. She would say that to him. She would say, girl.
Mm-hmm.
Sis, she would say.
Sis, I was rooting for you.
She would go, Meredith would go, hey, mama, no.
You are not slaying right now.
You are not slaying right now, Brooks. You are not slaying.
Thou doth not slay.
That is not a slay, as they would say.
Wait, what else did your mom say?
It was brief because I wanted to get fresh before I recorded. So I was like, I got to go and get ready. She just said that she's really trying, but she hasn't found her footing yet.
I feel her, because last night I was watching this episode and taking notes, and the end, like, it felt like it dragged out forever. I was like, will this episode ever end and release me so I can go to sleep? And then finally it did, but I was like, that's not a good sign.
My mom said she loves Heather.
I love Heather. I want to see Heather find love. Jen, after our kind of discussion about her last week and then like talking about her on the bonus episodes, I'm now extremely darked out by her.
Me too.
But I'm like, let's lean into that. Like, there's something about, and I don't know if it's like a tonal change in the way that Bravo edits their episodes or what their MO is now.
Yeah.
But it feels like they're not exploiting these innocent people the way that I need them to in order to make it entertaining and worth my while.
Well, I wonder if now that, especially when you have a completely new franchise like this, they've had basically 15 years to see how it's done. And I wonder if they're not as, like in the beginning when, even in like the old days of OC in New York, like they probably didn't have enough experience to be like, hey, can you edit me in this way? You know what I mean? Or like be more like plugged in with the editing. And I think because everyone is so image conscious now, and especially because they've had so much, basically, I feel like some of these women have been like rehearsing for this for years, and now they have it, and they know they're not going to make themselves look like totally shitty.
I know, but the best they don't need to do really anything. Like, they could do all that they want, but it's like, I feel like it's up to the camera crew to catch those like weird B-roll moments, and then up to the editors to like zoom in on something or like edit it. Like, I don't care if they make themselves look stupid or not. Like, I want you to do it. That's me as like a boss to the Bravo team. I'm like, you need to like really focus in and just like make me. And I feel like they're kind of pussyfooting around it because I don't know.
You're like Camille.
I would love anyone
to
weigh in.
You need to make them look stupid.
No, I am. I'm like, your job is to exploit the fuck out of these women for my entertainment purposes.
And I agree. If
you're not doing that and you're presenting them like, oh my God, goals, like la, 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 everything is nice.
Shaw Squad.
Get along. Yeah. Shaw Squad, want that.
Agreed. They need to be at each other's throats, and then there needs to be one or two episodes where they go on like a trip or some kind of thing, and they all get along, and it's really nice.
Yeah, and I don't know if it maybe is because they're filming like right before COVID hit. Like, I don't know what the deal is, but something's not clicking, and I'm like, you have the pieces. Like, I see where you could go in. Like,
I know.
You can get really into Whitney and Justin's relationship because he's kind of a creep.
Yeah,
and,
he
like,
is.
Their relationship is kind of weird, I think. And you could get deeply, and like Heather kind of stands out as the voice of reason, or the woman that you like, you're like, oh, I'm sad for her, but I root for her. And yeah, like, you have her as like your favorite. You have Jen, who's trying so hard, so you need to like blow that shit up. You have Mary, who literally is like employing her great aunt as her housekeeper. Like, mm-hmm, let's like get it. Like, I feel like we're not focusing in on the fact that Mary is truly from another realm. Like, she is gold. You have Lisa and her husband. They're pretty good TV. Like, I think you could really do something with that dynamic.
Lisa's growing on me.
I kind of like Lisa, and the way she talks is so insane.
I think,
and
she's
like,
she's, her parenting is very questionable, but I like that she's sort of unapologetic about how she is, and mm-hmm, and I like it. I think she's fun, and I would watch a whole show about her just hopping from Sundance event to the next event. You know what I mean?
I like when she's telling people to like remove a table from the womb chair. Like, I'm into that. And like, I like her like bossing her husband around. Like,
yeah, that was hot.
The bones, there are bones there, but I feel like they're not being utilized in the right way.
No, good bones. You're right. It's like a house. Good bones to the house, but the execution was just all wrong. And
it's very poor execution. Like,
it is.
What the? And I think that that falls. I think that that falls on Bravo.
You're a clown.
You're a clown.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on. I think, you're right. I loved seeing Lisa like order people around. I loved when she was on that call with Meredith, and she was just like talking to people while the whole
time. Yeah, kind of
like,
and Meredith, then just like,
she
hung
was like
up.
Meredith, I gotta go. Like, I got.
Yeah.
And Meredith looked kind of pissed. I like that.
Mm-hmm.
Wait. By the way, can we talk really fast? Speaking of your clown.
We need to speak to this bombshell article in the New York Times.
Yeah, in the New York fucking Times.
In the failing New York Times, there was an article that read really like salacious for like a news, a piece of journalism.
Well, hey,
like, the violent and epic. They got to keep our attention somehow.
It's a tri-state drama, yo, and it's you know, why did I say yo?
I don't... I, like, glazed over. I wouldn't have said anything.
Oh,
you
my God.
In this economy, you got a yo when you
maybe
got a
it was,
yo.
Maybe because I just finished Breaking Bad.
And yeah, you. That was a little bit of Jesse's.
Oh, my God.
Influence.
Take that out, Laura.
It will never take it
no!
out.
No!
You have to live with your decisions.
Fuck.
It's okay.
Do you love me censoring? I'm like, take that out. Speaking of editing, I'm like the
worst.
We
have a good, like, I know when I really need to take something out, and then I know when I say I will and I don't, and I know that that's going to be fine, too.
Okay.
But anytime that you, like, really need something out, I always take it out. I got you, boo.
Well, it is tri-state. It's like a New York, it's like New North Jersey mob. It's a very New York thing to... But it felt more New York Post or Page Six than
I'm loving the New York Times getting a new beat.
So,
and
Gina Manzo's,
I live for any sort of mobster related drama, as you all know. So
Dina Manzo's ex-husband, as we know, hired a mob, like a muscle from some crime family that he
from the Lucchese crime family
to assault and like savagely beat Dina's boyfriend
in the parking lot of a strip mall with a weapon known as a slapjack, which we really took us a lot to like figure out what that was.
We don't talk about it enough that a slapjack was the motive, the weapon of choice.
Incredibly Sopranos.
Mm-hmm.
And like, I'm just happy that this kind of activity is still taking place, because honestly, I worry about the mafia. I don't think that they're hip to the times. I don't think that they're like aging into the new age of technology. And like, organized crime, like, how are they going to do it? Like, organized crime now is like you hire people to like hack stuff for you. You know, you like rage cyber warfare. And you don't really go out and beat people with slapjacks anymore. So I'm glad this feels like vintage, and I'm in. And I'm glad he survived and no one was like murdered in this story.
It's juicy. It's absurd. The exchange, the transaction was a free wedding at the Brownstone. Like, it was just very, like, it was the most New Jersey crime story you can imagine.
For anyone that's, like, not in the loop, Dina's ex-husband co-owns the Brownstone with Caroline and Albert Sr. Mm-hmm. and hired this guy, Dave Perna, to go assault her new boyfriend in a strip mall parking lot with a slapjack. Now, and then in return gave him like a hugely discounted wedding for 300 people. And then Manzo supplied, or was it the guy or Manzo? Someone supplied like fake invoices and falsified documents. Manzo falsified a bunch of documents and gave them to like the government or the police, whoever was investigating, saying like, oh no, he paid full price, blah, blah, blah. But then the FBI looked into it and it was like, no, he faked all these invoices. So Dave Perna, just the guy that assaulted Mr. Slapjack himself, he
pled guilty.
Dave Slapjack, old Slapjack Perna, as we call him, he pled guilty. So I don't know what he's, I guess he's going to go to jail. I don't know.
But
it sounds like he'll be fine in jail. It seems like jail's a great place for a guy like Dave.
Oh, yeah.
And now Thomas Manzo is pled not guilty and a court date is set for 2021. So Paymon has blessed us, showering us with court dates of 2021 is going to be our year for courtroom drama featuring the Manzo family.
What we need now is Caroline and Dina back on Roe and Jay, even though Dina
now more
Malibu.
Than ever. Yeah, they don't speak anymore because of this incident.
Yeah, it's, I mean, I wouldn't speak to Caroline either.
No, if my sister
knew about it and like she went, I give it my blessing,
it's fine,
I wash my hands clean, she probably said.
Yeah, she's like, not my business, I don't do the books.
No, Caroline, I'll cook the books.
I'll cook the books.
You call me in to cook the books.
I got invoices for days.
That's what it is. I'm now two money laundering shows down from between Ozark and Breaking Bad, and now I'm just like fully believe that like basically every business is a money laundering scheme.
Yeah, I mean, basically like
Brownstone is a money law. I think the Brownstone is like a money.
Rich
tip.
People launder money all the time. They just do it like legally by hiring like high priced accountants and like working that know all the laws to like get you out of having to pay taxes. But anyone who's not like insanely wealthy or more like criminally prone, like the Brownstone is fully a money laundering scheme. If they're falsifying like
allegedly,
invoices and all that
allegedly,
stuff.
Allegedly, we're just speculating.
Yeah. In our humble opinion that has no knowledge of anything at all, just what we've watched on Bravo, not even really researching online or anything.
To put it simply, it's a front.
It's a front. And you're clowns.
But also, Laura and I still want to be invited to the Brownstone, so like don't.
Yeah.
Like, please invite us to your next.
Throw us a party.
Post-COVID benefit.
Yeah, we want to go to the Brownstone New Year's Eve 2021. To 2022, so invite us and throw us an event we'll never forget, and we won't say a word. We won't breathe a word of this to no one.
But, here's my theory. He won't go to jail because their dad was like a storied mafia guy who got whacked. And I just feel like people have respect for Tiny Manzo. You know, so I just have a feeling there's people on the inside. He will get out of this, I think.
Yeah, it sounds like he's already kind of wiggling his way out because he has like really good lawyers that are already like on it. Like, they're saying he doesn't have to turn over information about his employment or finances. His lawyer like rejected that. He applied to have the conditions of his bail modified.
Whoa.
So that he could travel from New Jersey to New York at his own discretion.
To go to like whatever other money laundering silo he has.
Yeah, to go have meetings. I'm like, to go have meetings with the New York crime family bosses.
Yeah.
I mean, watched the fucking Sopranos. I know how it fucking works.
It's still crazy. Like when we, on our last Tough Sicilian Bitches watch, when we learned that Albert Manzo scammed the state so he could be in that position for like the water.
They're fucking corrupt.
They're corrupt.
Also, and the New York Times article point. The New York Times, go ahead.
No, just Caroline being like, she had a fucking answer for everything when Andy was like,
oh,
so
classic.
And she was just like, hey, it was all a misunderstanding.
Where he lays his head at night, he's gotta go to sleep.
So that we consider that his home. Wherever he lays his head, his home. And sometimes that's the brownstone. Sorry,
because he loves to work. He loves to work. Okay, so in this article, it also points out how well-connected the Manzo family is, and they're known to be close to this guy, this cop, named Bernard B. Carrick, the disgraced former New York City police commissioner and former nominee for Secretary of Homeland Security, who appeared in early promos of the reality show with a snarling attack dog. So they remember when they had, like, German shepherds? That was, like, a police commissioner.
Why was
who
he
later
detained?
He used the brownstone as the site of a 2008 event to raise money for his legal defense against federal charges of corruption, tax evasion, and perjury. And this is their friend. This is their friend. They are in with the dirty police, the failing police of New Jersey and New York.
We had that theory, and Danielle had that theory.
Mm-hmm. Danielle knew.
Danielle was on. She was on. The transistor radio listening in on the police scanner. She knew what was happening.
An old Danny boy knew as well.
Yeah.
A punk is a punk, and the Manzos is punks.
He was right.
They're fucking punks, and their little beef and beer benefit for the police. They got the police in their fucking pocket.
They do.
I hope this all blows up 2021. I'm just praying that comes to fruition.
But honestly, I mean, look, I'm not going to give Danielle that much credit because I think she's fucking batshit and like kind of a bad person. But I do think she had reason to fear this family.
Yeah.
And, like, I had no, like, watching it in the beginning when I first watched it, I was like, oh, she's like, why does she think these people are going to kill her? Like, I was like, this is ridiculous. And now I'm like,
now I'm like, they literally have their slapjacks at the ready.
They have their militia of slapjacks, their arsenal,
yeah,
ready to go to go slap people around in a strip mall parking lot. Like, Danielle, at any chance, could have walked into Posh or the the breast augmentation place in the strip mall,
mm-hmm,
that had the missing
letters. You could just be
letters.
Going in for your free consultation, come out to your car, and then old Perna hits you with a slapjack, breaks a kneecap.
Remember, Danielle, they punch me in the face and I fall back and hit my head, and then I'm dead and my kids don't have a mother anymore.
She's not lying.
She was fucking on point. She was on. Danielle was, I'm sorry, Danielle had a reason to be afraid. I just love that the like final destination thing she described. And then I fall back. And then I fall back. Because
she knows that they're probably not.
Yeah, it's not going to be an overt death. It's going
to
be a.
No, and she knows that they're not going to probably set out to kill her. They're first probably going to try and like just muscle her a little bit to make her really scared so that she shuts up. But, you know, she's a tall drink of water and kind of gangly. So, like, anything could happen. Then before you know it, I've fallen down. I've hit my head. I die. My children don't have a mother.
And then I go straight to hell.
Then I'm in straight hell.
It's crazy.
It's crazy.
But also in legal drama, another Housewives, the Tom and Erica shit is why there's a whole LA Times article. I think Brian Moylan wrote it or was referenced a lot.
Oh my God.
Or no, he didn't write it. He was referenced a lot. He wrote Erica Jane's book or something, but it's called The Rise and Fall of Erica and Tom. Just okay. About their Yeah, so I have to read it, but I mean, there's a lot of shit going on, guys.
There's so much shit. Yeah, I'm like, Erica and Tom, I hope this plays out on RHOBH.
I mean, you don't get lower than stealing money from people whose loved ones died in a plane crash.
That's like taking all the money from like MH370 or whatever the fuck. And being like, me, I need to pay for my house in Pasadena and a little bit of Balenciaga. Sorry, guys.
Me.
No, me.
No.
They embezzled allegedly like $2 million, right?
Yeah, Mikey had to get paid.
Man.
Scammers.
But also it's like lawyers.
This is proving our theory that reality stars are prone to be criminals.
Yeah, criminals.
Murderers.
Galore. When will the cast of Vanderpump Rules, what criminals will arise from that? We already know that Jax has like a weird history of arrests and stuff, but like, I'm telling you, one of them is going to be embroiled in some sort of like legal drama. I just know it. There's no way that, that one of them can't like, and now the stakes are higher than ever kind of because they have no income. So
I swear, I think Jax and Brittany are going to start like a mega church and steal money.
I think Jax could, he could get into like tax evasion or something like that. Like I could see him hatching some like not well thought out plan.
Scheme.
Like fraud. Like I could see him doing like fraud or tax evasion or something.
Wait, can we talk about, back to SLC, can we talk about a Vanderpump's SLC crossover that like truly shook me to my core?
Yeah. Speak to it. Speak truth to power.
Do you want to go in chronological order?
Yeah, let's start at the beginning.
Okay.
We open on Lisa. She's in Sundance mode. And she wakes up in the morning, sits right up in bed, and just starts speaking at her husband. Mm-hmm. And like is kind of going over her to-do list. And I just love that he was asleep or like just resting his eyes.
He's like pretending to be asleep.
Yeah, pretending to be asleep. I think that he loves her, and I think he kind of like knows how to play the game like up for the cameras a little bit of their relationship.
I'm into it.
You love him, and then I'm turning now into a super fan of the husband.
A John fan.
Uh huh. A John about Stan. Him. Yeah.
He's like, I think there's like, a silly streak in him. I just know it.
Yeah, he's a little silly guy. Mm-hmm. And I think he might top from the bottom. Like he lets her boss him around, but really like he puts his foot down when he needs to be a man.
Yeah. No, I think they really love each other.
Mm-hmm. And I'm excited to see where this goes.
I just wrote Sundance comes to Park City with 3 exclamation points.
It's Sundance, in case you didn't know. I love people being like, Park City is the cultural center of Utah.
Yeah, people being like, the eyes of the world are on us this week. And I'm just like,
mm-hmm. Okay. It's an international cultural festival, a super event.
Yeah, a super spreader event.
I'm like, okay, it's literally a film festival.
COVID looms. You feel it. It's like,
I felt it.
I felt like bittersweet watching all these parties because I was like, this is like the last time really anyone's going to be able to do this.
Yeah, it was the last hurrah, and I just thought, like, God, they have no idea what's right around the corner.
Mm-mm. Like, there were maybe rumors, but maybe
I'm
not
sure
even...
I'm sure people side-talked, and they were like, how about that disease?
I remember that. I was, like, at some party and, like, just hearing rumblings of people being like, it's kind of weird.
Mm-hmm.
And me being like, it is. It is weird. I want to talk about it.
Yeah.
You were like, what'd you say, COVID? What are you talking about, COVID? Are you talking about the mystery pneumonia?
The mystery pneumonia that's spreading like wildfire from China, from Wuhan. It's already across the globe. There's cases in Europe, maybe in the U.S.
There's cases
Is that
in
what
Europe.
You're talking about?
There's one case in Oregon. There's one case in Oregon.
You were the COVID. You were my COVID lifeline of all COVID news filtering
through
you to me.
I was... I was annoying to people, and my friends were annoying, and I alienated my boyfriend at one point because of
it. You maybe alienated everyone who knows you,
but I was right. I was right. And I stand by it, and I will accept when I'm annoying. I was very annoying, mind you.
How does it feel to be so right?
I mean, look, I didn't know it was going to be like this.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was just going to be like swine flu,
yeah,
or something. I truly was not expecting like this shit or how just ridiculous things got. But I just knew something's coming. I was just like, something's here, something's there, something's over there, something's coming. Like, I was like doing that all day. And then it came and I was mm-hmm. like, oh, now it's here.
It's here. She's here. You texted everyone.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, but yeah, so Sundance is like, looks really fun. Have you been?
Yeah, I actually went. Oh my God, when did I go? In 2012, because my book was coming out. My book, White Girl Problems by Babe Walker. Buy it on Amazon.
White Girl Problems. Buy it on Amazon.
I'll make this short tweet. You need to buy my book right now. And there was a party being thrown at Hyde Lounge.
Oh, wow.
In honor of the release. And like, four people came to the party, but then I got to stay at the venue, and like my guests, which were like a handful of people, stayed at the venue because Lil Jon's birthday party was happening right after. So my party was from like 7 to 9 or something. And then at 9, Lil Jon's party happened, and that's when things got really fun. So then I was just like passing out my book to everyone. I got a pic with Lil Jon.
Was it raucous?
It was raucous, yeah.
I would have loved to be. I would have been one of the four.
Yeah, it was like a good. It was a crew of mostly agents that worked at the agency that represented me,
and then a couple friends. Your real friends.
And we ordered pizza, and we were like, "Lol," and then passed out the books.
Love.
But I'd say all in all, it was a success. Yeah.
Is Hyde Lounge like the Hyde Hotel in Miami?
It's like the Hyde. For like LA, the club or whatever. So they had like, they would do a lot of clubs from LA would do like pop-ups at Sundance. Mm-hmm. And then I guess you would just like, they book out, like they take over whatever venue and then you can book out certain windows of times to have like your events. So mine was kind of thrown together a little last minute.
I went to the Hyde in Miami.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Hyde's kind of fun. Hyde's vintage.
I went with my sister and my brother-in-law. And my sister, I remember it was like a hero. It was like, I was like 24 and I had like a, my big sister's cool. Like I was, and she, the line was huge and she just walked to the front and went, "We're not waiting in this." And the guy was like, "Okay." And let her, and I was just like, "Oh my God, that's my sister."
Your sister is cool.
She's cool.
Just fucking getting it done.
Right.
Walking right to the front of the fucking line.
I'm not waiting in this line.
I love that. You have no choice but to respect that as a bouncer.
No choice but to stand.
Mm-hmm. So I've had a little taste of the hustle and bustle of the Sundance life.
Wow. I feel, yeah, you've had some festival experience between Cannes and Sundance. Mm-hmm. You've lived the fest life.
Yeah, and it's fun. And it's definitely high stakes, like, because Sundance really, I think, is all about just like what parties you're going to. I mean, all those, if you're going for a film or whatever, it's about that. But then it's really like about just getting into all the best parties that you can possibly go to.
And wearing jeans.
I'm wearing jeans and you're getting some winter boots.
Mm-hmm.
And like a fur.
Lisa's in bed and she goes, "Oh my God, I have so many events around Sundance," she says. It's like, yeah.
We get it. You're a Sundance head. You're a Sundance.
I have to go to the WME lounge, she says.
She loved saying that.
Mm-hmm. Then we cut to Meredith Marks, who is dressed, she looks like Morticia.
Mm-hmm. I was loving her look.
Mm-hmm.
Brooks is getting ready.
They're doing the first ever Park City Fashion Week, which I just wrote LOL. And Brooks is doing, Brooks has a show.
Well, okay, here's my question. I think that Park City Fashion Week is just one fashion show where like a couple, there has like a handful of designers who show like a few outfits each.
Yeah.
I don't think it's an actual week. I'm like, why are you calling it a week?
Let's just go with it and say it's a week.
They're literally leaning in. I'm like, it's sad. You just have Park City Fashion.
They do period. Monday. They do Monday to Sunday in a show.
Bryant Park is shook.
Brooks is doing, he's debuting some of his jumpsuit, his tracksuits.
He makes tracksuits with like a little line down them that says Brooks Marks. And they just look like any other tracksuit, except they have
like his label,
Brooks Mark. Yeah.
And I'm
like, who's buying these tracksuits, A?
Gays.
Maybe.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
A new quarter brings new goals, but what about your skincare goals? Small, easy changes in your routine can have amazing results, and your secret weapon should be Dime Beauty.
Dime Beauty is clean, high-end skincare that is affordable, and it really works. Dime didn't sacrifice performance just to make it clean, either. And when I say clean, Dime is 100% transparent about every single ingredient, so you can use their products daily with confidence. I have been using Dime Beauty's TBT cream and their Dewy Daily Cream. TBT cream is a retinol alternative that I put on at night before I go to bed, and it's actually been making my skin look glowy and snatched, if I do say so myself.
I've noticed that, and I think our listeners have noticed too, because I've been picking up on a bunch of TikTok comments that have been like, you're glowing recently. So hats off to Dime. No one has time to remember the order of a 10-step skincare routine. The Work System from Dime Beauty has everything you need in one powerful package. It includes a gentle cleanser, a toner, two incredible serums, and two luxurious moisturizers.
Plus, my favorite, Dime's TBT cream, is finally back in stock. Check that out while you're there.
Dime has over 2 million happy customers, and their product reviews are literally all 5 stars. This year, love your skin again. Go to dimebeautyco.com now and unlock your discount. That's dimebeautyco.com.
The weather's getting warmer, so it's time to say goodbye to my jackets and sweaters and hello to shorts and tees. I wanted to update my wardrobe for the long haul summertime without spending a fortune. Luckily, I found Quince. Now I've got a lineup of timeless pieces that keep me looking effortlessly chic and comfy year after year.
Quince has it all, like premium European linen dresses, blouses, and shorts from $30, washable silk tops, timeless 14-karat gold jewelry, and so much more.
The best part? All Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman and passes the savings on to us.
And Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes. I love that.
As you know, I've been on my fitness journey in 2024, so I'm getting into athleisure wear a lot. I have Quince long sleeve shirts, shorts, t-shirts. I wear it to the gym. I wear it out. I wear it to Whole Foods.
I wear it to 7-Eleven to buy my Diet Cokes. I'm wearing it all over town.
And people are noticing.
People are fucking noticing.
Get warm weather ready with Quince. Go to quince.com/sexyunique for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/sexyunique to get free shipping and 365-day returns.
quince.com/sexyunique.
Meredith is going to walk in Fashion Week.
Yeah. And then...
And Brooks is going to walk.
And Brooks goes, oh my God, I'm walking. He goes, oh my God, no. The woman goes, Brooks, you're going to be walking. You know that, right? And he went, oh my God.
Oh my God, no. If you had told me that, I would have started a juice cleanse like a week ago.
And all the women go, so everyone laughs around Brooks because they're like, you're they so funny, Brooks. You're really funny.
They're all living in fear of him.
Yeah.
He's like the kid in the Twilight Zone movie that
he
like.
He is.
He Holy is that kid.
Shit. He is that kid. Laura, that's such a fuck. That's like, I feel like I was like, something was in the back of my mind being like, what does he remind me of? And you fucking nailed it.
He is. She said that.
He's the kid.
He is the kid
who is holding his family hostage by like manifesting his imagination and like making them eat like burgers that like
with peanut butter,
peanut butter, and then the woman
creepy
who does
rabbits come out of the like TV.
And the woman who does the voice of Lisa Simpson is in it. What's her name? Nancy Cartwright.
Mm-hmm.
I think she's in it. It's so good.
It's so good. It's so scary.
It is.
Remember
really
when he makes his sister like you? His sister's like watching creepy cartoons, and then it kind of pans down, and she has no mouth. She just has skin where her mouth is.
He's like, shut
and
up.
He gave her no mouth. Yeah,
that's Brooks.
That's totally Brooks, and we see him do it, reign his chaos supreme over the Casa de Meredith.
The Casa de Marx.
Jen.
Wait, so Jen does have an office. It is.
That is WeWork.
I'm telling you, it's like an abandoned building and they like have.
That is a WeWork.
It's, yeah, it's some shady real estate venture and she just has a floor in it.
She's on roller skate. I think that it's a WeWork. I really do. Because I was like, this layout, like it is like a co-working space that I believe that she just rent. Okay, here's my theory on Jen. I think she just rented. She knew she was going to be on this show. She wants to like start a brand around her. So she rented an office and then rented this big mansion. And then she was like, my brand is going to be like event planning. And I have this house that I can throw all my parties at. Cause like she probably doesn't know anyone to like for venues and stuff like that. So she's like, the house can be the venue, the Shaw Chalet. And then like I have my office where I do my business. But then we see that she doesn't really do any business in her office. Like she plays, like goes on roller skates. She wears like a princess crown, makes Stuart, like her gay assistant, like fan her. And then like they just talk about like they reminisce on funny parties that they went to once. She's Stuart's like just like her best friend.
Yeah. She's like, usually it's Stuart and I are conference calls all day, back to back meetings, planning events. But this week it's all about the party. And I'm like, that's every week, Jen.
Yeah, I was like, you're not, I just have a feeling. I'm like, this is not, you don't do this for work.
Yeah. She's full of, story's full of holes. I'm like, now I'm like, okay, Stuart is gay.
He's gay, right? It's just like her gay bestie that
I thought he was like a sad straight man, but now I'm like,
there's
he's just a gay.
Yeah.
Because they're reminiscing.
You're going to have a sad straight man around. Like, there's no... That's dangerous, actually. You're in danger, girl. I would say to anyone that just had a sad straight man on their payroll that's just, like, hanging around like that.
Yeah, you're so
he's
right.
He's going to murder you. Like, you're about to get fucking killed. Mm-hmm. Fire him.
Gotta have a gay.
Yeah.
And she's like, Stuart, remember when you got blackout at last Sundance and you pretended to be a rapper? And I was just like, okay, this is TMI.
I'm sad that there was no footage of that because it sounded extremely cringe and problematic.
I would have loved
to see it.
They've never been more excited. Like, Sundance is... They're like, these people come alive when it's Sundance.
It's the only thing to live for.
It is. And, like, I mean, we'll talk about it later, but Heather kind of says, like, I love Sundance because it really reminds me that there's a bigger world. It just made me kind of sad.
Yeah, if you're just like a salty Utah queen that's also a Mormon, like, Sundance is finally a chance where you can get shit-faced.
And get, like...
And get laid, maybe.
Get plowed.
It's your one week out of 52 weeks of the year that you can really cut loose and, like, experience life.
And have fun.
And then you have to just, like, go back to church.
Yeah.
Jen goes to Whitney's for a hot tub night, and she continues to have absolutely no chill about her situation with Mary.
Wait, well, first we go to Lisa, and she literally has, on the main strip of Park City, she has an event in every space. So she's going from one event to the other. She's doing one event that just says Latinx event, and then another event's like the Vita event. So she just has, like, every kind of theme or like, party. Like, it's very confusing. So it's just... So she just has a kind of a monopoly over all the events?
I guess. Or maybe, like, it looked like... Because that McMillions movie, the McMillions event, was for, like, the HBO documentary, I think.
Right.
So I think probably, like, maybe movie studios... Or the marketing teams come to her and they say, like, we want you to, like, throw, like, plan this event for us. And then she has relationships with, like, the venues. And so she says, like, we'll throw this one here, we'll throw this one there. And it probably is just, like, I mean, every night there's, like, three or four parties.
Yeah, she says for 10 days straight. So if she's
just in that mode, yeah, she's just, like, planning all those things.
She probably makes so much money.
Yeah, it seems like they just, like, haul.
And John is doing, like, actual, like, catering work. Like, he's, like, moving tables
moving
and
the furniture.
Chairs.
Yeah, because I guess, like, do they just, when you're in the event business, do you just have, like, a huge storage unit filled with, like, CB2 furniture that you bring out for various events? Yeah.
I like her just going, this is all going away. This is all going away. It reminded me, there's a Cape Roland video where she's, like, playing a character that has a rock collection. And she just has, like, you just see her with a bunch of rocks, and she goes, she's like, 1,000, 4,000, 25,000. Like, she's just pointing to all of them, and it just reminded me of Lisa being like, this is going away, this is going away, this is going away.
Yeah, Lisa and Cape Roland do share, like, a similar, like, character energy.
Yeah. I would love Kate.
I would love to see Kate as Lisa.
Me too.
The queen of Sundance.
The queen of Sundance. We're a Sundance family.
We're a Sundance family. When I'm at Sundance, it's all Sundance. My mommy duties go out the window. I am unreachable.
Yeah, that was great.
I love that. I'm all for throwing your mommy duties out the window, becoming unreachable to your children, and working. They need that. Everyone needs a little bit of time away.
Yeah.
You need to do you. You pass the kids off to the babysitter. You say, here's $50. Go get Buffalo Wild Wings tonight. And then you decline their FaceTimes. It's a power move. It's the only move you have left as a parent.
She goes, I'm off the clock as a mom. My kids can fend for themselves.
And they really can. They're fine.
Yeah. I love it. So Whitney has Jen over for a little hot tub moment, and Jen comes over with Stuart, and then they just close
the door in Stuart's face. Stuart looked like he was prepped to stay and hang, and then they were like, okay, bye, Stuart, and then just, like, shut him out.
He, like, waited in the car, went on Grindr. Jen's hot tub outfit is kind of major.
It was really major. I love that you can, like... I love the idea of wearing a swimsuit and then having to wear pasties over your nipples under the swimsuit because, like, your nips are showing. Like, it's, like, so... It's just so much to just go in a hot tub. You know what I mean? It's just, like,
I know, but
so
I,
much.
I loved when she came out and she goes, okay, I'm ready. And then she just started laughing. Because she was like, "This is I know this is ridiculous."
Like, yeah, I'd like the outfits.
Whitney, I, like, kind of... On to be honest, like, blacked out this whole scene because I was so focused on Whitney's voice. Her voice is really start it. It takes me to it's chilling, and it's like she's like, Jen is my friend, but Mary too is also my friend, so I cannot choose between the two of them. Like, she just has this very, like,
it's a high pitched. It's a lot.
It's I can't even describe, but it was sending me to, like, it was rocketing me to another, to the stratosphere of, like, confusion.
You had to visit another dimension where Whitney didn't exist, where Whitney was never born, and then you existed in that dimension while she spoke.
I just wrote, I'm banging my head against the wall. Like, I just can't. I know that sounds, it's, I hate making fun of someone's voice because it's like they can't help it, but, like, I was just like, you can't help this.
But yeah, after a while, like...
You have to stop. I just wanted to go up and go, hey, this needs to stop.
So hey. Whitney's whole thing is that she's throwing a party for her husband, Justin. He's turning 52, and every year on his birthday, she goes all out to give him the biggest, best party that she can possibly muster to just reward him because he has alienated himself. He turned his back on his entire family and religion and children and life to, like, be with this woman.
He, like...
So, like, the least she can do is just, like, suck his dick and throw him a party, I guess.
Yeah, she's like... He, like, betrayed his wife and his children and just gave up everything for her. So she's like, so I reward him because he's... literally gave up everything for me.
I mean, I was kind of team Justin and Whitney until she said that, and then I really bristled at, like, the children thing. I was like, actually, that's, like, fucked up.
It is. He doesn't have a relationship.
Imagine if you were a kid. Imagine if you were watching your stepmom on fucking Real Housewives being like, I just love to give him a party because he literally gave up his relationship with his children for me.
I'd be like, I wish you death.
I would scream. I would get in the car and I would drive my car through their living room.
No, I mean, it's like horrific. It's a bad painting that they've painted. A bad
portrait. And also it's like,
painted.
I get initially, I mean, I guess the religion part plays into it heavily too, because his whole family Mormon?
Yeah, look, I get
but I'm
it.
Like, after you guys have been together, you've been together for 10 years, like, there should be some sort of trying to make peace about it now, like, at least with your kids, like, you would want to be like, shouldn't there be some part of, like, accept, like, You're still at odds with your children over this, then that's on you guys. Like, you guys are fucking weird, because why are you still at odds?
No, here's the thing that I feel is what I saw was...
Tell me what you saw.
Well, okay, shit happens. People leave, like, it happens.
Yeah.
You know? But, like, there's a way to try to make peace, like you said, and find solace and find some kind of commonality and try to live life... not fully abandoning the old, but, like, trying to merge it and be like, look, it didn't work out this way, but, like, I still want to have a family system in some way.
Yeah.
I think that's the way to try to do it. But I feel like there are people who have an affair and then they never get over the drama of it. And so they like, it almost is like part of their, like, the rush they get from being together is that we did this crazy thing. And it's enhanced, like you said, too, about because they're both, like, super Mormon or were raised super Mormon. So I feel like they're both like, aren't we crazy that we did this? And they, like, haven't gotten over their affair in 10 years. And it's like they're still trying to live in that, like, kind of intensity. And mm-hmm. it's like, bitch, it's over. You did it. You did it. You both did it. Let's move on and try to be healthy and like not live in the intensity of this thing that you did that was like clandestine and fucked up.
Yeah. Like if I was with a guy who he had cheated on his family for me and we ended up together, I would at least like, I would want him to have a relationship with his kids. Mm-hmm. I would want that to be like a priority, or like I would encourage that. Like I wouldn't relish in the fact that like now he gave him all up. He gave up his children and now I'm going to throw him a big party.
Yeah. Like, oh, daddy, a party. It's like also
I didn't realize like the age difference between them is like pretty big, and I think that can be really hot and stuff, but I was just like, this was the first time I was like, ew, like I kind of saw Justin like up close and I was like, ooh. I was like, yeah, nah, I'm not on board anymore.
Have you seen the Natalie Portman vehicle, The Other Woman?
No, I really wanted to watch that. Is it good?
It's pretty good. Lisa Kudrow's okay. in it, but it's like about the second wife who her husband left his Lisa Kudrow for her,
mm-hmm.
and it's how she's navigating being a stepmom and like
I love stepmom drama,
kind of. But she's, you know, she's conflicted and like feels, you know, good about it because she loves this guy, but she also feels bad still, and like they have but I feel like it's a good watch. It made me think of it when I was watching Whitney and Justin.
Yeah, another good watch for a stepmom drama if you want to take things to like an incredibly dark place is The Lodge.
Oh my god.
The Lodge, I watched that like last month for the first time. I think it's one of the best. It's definitely one of the best horror movies of 2020. Like it stayed.
It was pretty good.
Super on my mind, and then like haunted me afterwards. But I was like, let's just say for all my Lodge heads out there, and you are one, I'm fully Team Riley
when it
comes to Lodge life.
Those kids. Spoiler alert. They deserve to.
Lodge spoilers. Lodge spoilers ahead.
They deserve to die.
Those kids deserve every shitty thing that happened to them.
Yeah. They were.
Yeah. They were shitty. They
were
fucked up.
Horrible.
They fucked up big time. And you know what? They face consequences for their actions.
I'm a Riley head, maybe almost as much as I'm a Mackenzie Davis head.
I ride or die for Riley.
Yeah.
And truly.
She's the one.
The number one move of a lifetime would be to put them in a movie together. Hollywood, if you're listening.
Well, I have to watch that Shine Forever movie that she's in.
Mackenzie Yeah, and Jane. I have to watch Halt and Catch Fire. There's a lot to do.
Yeah. But yeah, so she's like, you know, I don't want any drama at my, you know, the birthday between you and Mary, Jen. And Jen's like, okay.
Yeah, Jen like is still pissed about everything that Mary said to her. I just wrote, let go, let Mary. Mary is going to marry. You just got to let Mary do Mary.
What if in the background, Stuart was just in like the backyard? Like,
yeah, I bet he's like just standing in a window watching them. I don't trust it. I don't trust their house. I don't like it.
Mm-mm.
I'm not down. Meredith calls Whitney and recruits her to walk in Park City Fashion Week.
I just wrote, Meredith loves a FaceTime.
Yeah.
And Whitney
She's born to FaceTime.
Whitney goes, wow, I really appreciate you asking, and I will consider walking, but I'm not sure because I've never done that before.
I'm like, bitch, don't worry about it. It's Park City Fashion Week.
Yeah,
you're going to walk.
I was one like, just give her a fucking answer.
Way.
Just say yes or no.
Yeah, like, and also it's like, you're going to say yes.
Yeah.
I will consider walking.
I'm like, okay, Whitney. Just fucking say yes.
Whitney's big decision.
30 seconds of your fucking life. She's like, she is taking shots.
I will consider walking in the premier New York Park City Fashion Week.
I will. Thank you so much for asking me, and I will definitely consider walking.
I love your Whitney impression.
I will definitely consider walking.
Okay. Meredith was like, okay, bitch.
Fine. Do it or don't.
Yeah. So
Meredith then turns to FaceTime Lisa, but Lisa has no time.
Yeah.
She's like,
Meredith, I love you. I gotta go though. I have my AD's here. I gotta go.
My AV guy's here, huh? My AV guy. I love just like frantically like reject, like being so busy. You just have to like frantically reject things.
You just hear Lisa go, "Hi, how are you?" to someone. I love it. I love Lisa. I love her busy.
I love busy Lisa too. And I actually am like really into Lisa's faith in LDS.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she's like blind faith.
It's not for me necessarily, but I enjoy it for her, and it seems to really be working for her.
No, I think she really loves it.
She really loves it, and she feels like it's making her a better person, and like, I guess that's great for you.
Okay.
Wait a second.
What?
Side note. Okay. Hugely religious side note. One of my followers, Kenna, shout out to Kenna, let me know that she has like a Mormon relative who shared on Facebook or somewhere that she was like obsessed with this LDS like photo of the Virgin Mary. And like she had shared this photo, and then Kenna saw it and was like, wait, that looks like Lara. Like, and sent me this photo. Carrie, I am a low key, there's a woman out there who does acting work for the Church of the Latter-day Saints that looks like me. I'm about to send you this pic and you're going to actually shit yourself. And I will share this on Instagram.
Wait, that's so weird.
Are you, you're not even ready for this.
Is it like your astral twin?
You're absolutely not ready for what is coming your way.
Where are you sending
it? I just texted it to you. Live reaction.
Holy shit.
That's insane.
That's really, really
weird. We have some like different features.
Yeah,
like our nose and mouth are a little bit different. But like
the eyes and the eyebrows. The eyebrows. Holy shit.
We're the same person.
And like, honestly, the hair.
So then I went down a rabbit hole trying to find like where this photo came from, if I could buy it.
I love this Mormon acting.
It's a picture of the Mary, a Mormon acting holding baby Jesus. And I found the video that she's like acting in, which is like a promotional video for The Meaning of Christmas. And it's all featuring this Virgin Mary, aka me, on her journey.
I love like religious theaters.
Mm-hmm.
That's really great. Wow, that's really weird.
It's fucking wild, right?
Why does she have like her hair is like
that's a wig, I think.
Oh.
I think it has to be.
Maybe she dyed it.
Yeah.
Well, it's you guys crazy. You have the same exact eyes.
Yeah, we have the same eyes and eyebrows.
You are a Mormon. You're a well-known actress in the Mormon theater community.
And you know what was even wilder? The listener's family member who like had posted this, like did this whole post about like how there was like, she was like going through such hard times, and every time that she was really struggling, she would think about this photo, and it really gave her like so much hope. That photo is literally me.
It's really weird.
I'm like, you looked at this photo, and maybe this photo as Mary did give you a lot of hope, but also, like, this person looks exactly like me, and I am by no means an LDSer.
Maybe you are, Laura.
But maybe I am.
What if this is your, like, tether existing in the same timeline as you?
I honestly, she is. She looks a little less like me in the video,
But it's like, that shot, though, is truly chilling.
I know. I was like, wait, how am I? I've never seen a doppelganger.
I just watched Tenet last night, and it's all about like temporal duality. And now I'm like kind of in that mode, and this is like speaking to me.
This is my Tenet moment.
Mm-hmm. That is so Tenet good? Weird.
Do I need to watch it?
I really liked it. I thought it was, I mean, it got like weirdly bad reviews, but I thought it was really cool.
Haters are going to hate. 2020 was a great year for haters.
I thought it was wild.
Isn't Elizabeth Debicki in it?
Oh, yeah.
Ugh. All 6 foot one.
John David Washington is so fucking hot. Denzel's son, who's the main guy. He is so handsome, and like he's the star, and he's like the new action star, I feel like.
Wow.
He's amazing. Love Rob Pattinson's in it.
Love Rob.
It's just great. Aaron Taylor Johnson's in it.
Oh, yes. Yes, mama.
Kenneth Branagh's in it.
I love him.
It's good. It's like, it's kind of a mind, it's truly a mind fuck.
And okay, great.
I also couldn't really hear the sound. It was so, like, the soundtrack and the sound was so booming and loud that Simon and I were just like, wait, what? Like, what are they saying? I could not understand what they were, probably like 80% of the movie, I was like, what? I was like the Ariana Grande meme of her squinting. I was like, what? Mm-hmm. But it's worth a watch. It's like 2.5 hours, though.
Okay, cool. It sounds like a good movie to just like get blazed to and then let your mind
it's a stoner movie.
Go full Tenet. Okay, great. I need that in my life.
Speaking of alternate states, so we go to Mary's house, and this is truly a chilling moment, I felt. So Mary is like picking out an outfit for Whitney's husband's party, Justin, and she's getting help from Sherlinda, who's like her assistant, who is kind of her maid.
Sherlinda, okay,
is her cousin. It's her.
No, it's her great aunt.
No, it's her grandmother's brother. Oh my god, you're right. I thought she said mother.
No, her grandmother's brother's daughter.
So it's her aunt.
Or is that her cousin?
No, it's her aunt. Oh, it's her cousin.
Who is it? Their cousins? I'm so...
Okay. So, her grandmother... So, like, I have a great...
Her grandmother's
I have a
brother
great
would
aunt.
Be her great uncle.
So, his kids would be her second...
Her cousins.
Her first cousins once removed.
Okay. But
so
still,
that's her...
It's her
blood relative. And
it's
she's
a blood relative.
Making her... She's basically her servant. She said Sherlinda came over... When her son was born, and she fell in love with him and never left.
Yeah. Oh, she like, came to give Robert Jr. a present.
And she like became his nanny and like now is like their help. But like,
got it. I thought she meant that she came over to give Robert Sr. a present.
I think she was her son's nanny and then became
that makes a little more sense.
Like the house manager.
Yeah. Like and now she's their maid, essentially.
But it's her elder. And she's and then they're like having fun, they're dancing, and then Mary goes, I don't know her that well. Like I'm not close with her.
I don't know her life. I don't know anything about her.
I don't know what she does outside of what she helps me with. But at the end of the day, we're family. And I was just like, what? First of all, you guys look like you're really close.
Yeah.
And then...
Something is weird, but I'm into it. I'm like, tell me more about this relationship. I can't imagine...
It's strange.
Like, having a relative, like my elder relative, come work for me.
It must be part of the cult thing.
It must be, yeah.
But she,
I get like
Sherlinda
her wanting
to
help take care of the baby or something, but
Sherlinda has to wear like booties over her feet, I think.
Yeah, like, Charlotte. I mean, maybe she chooses to dress like that in that household, but it looks like she wears like a kind of a uniform-esque vibe.
I was very confused. And then Mary starts dancing, and then Sherlinda does like a cute little like robot dance. Or like the, you know, that the worm thing. And then Mary goes, don't do that.
She goes, that wasn't good. Mary's also,
be nice.
We need to talk about her bedroom.
Oh, it's
her bedroom is a shrine to fashion.
Yeah, Mary.
Do you think Mary and Robert
Mary's in
Senior,
a relationship with fashion at the end of the day?
Yeah, she is, and I actually appreciate that relationship, and it's a relationship I can respect.
Mm-hmm, me too.
Do you think she and Robert Senior sleep in separate bedrooms?
Yes.
Yeah, I had that feeling too. Because her, Mary also, like, I'm starting to have a lot more empathy for her because I do think she's, like, deeply damaged by everything she's been through. And she has still the mentality of, like, a little girl. Like,
yes,
she,
I was just going to say that. She's, like, she's like a teenager still.
Yeah, like a teenager or even, like, 8 to 10 years old. Like, just the way that she kind of is and, like, the way that she dresses. And I'm, like, did something happen at that age? I think something happened at that age, if you know what I mean. I'm going to make it short and sweet. That stunted her emotionally, and now this is just who she is. And I was like,
I think she's traumatized.
Feel for her.
I think she's literally traumatized from marrying her grandfather. So
yeah,
I think
from being
that
like
would,
sex trafficked
married,
to her grandfather.
If I married my grandfather, I would be regressed too, and like running around like a little kid.
Mm-hmm.
It's just sometimes it's like her. It's the way she copes. I don't like, I mean, it's none of my business. Maybe Charlinda is just like actually more of like a family figure there, but like the way they framed it, it looked kind of dark to me. Like the vibe was weird, but it's also
from the moment
business.
Charlinda even stepped on the screen, I was like, this feels wrong. Something ain't right.
But,
and now we're learning more, but I'm like, let's
focus. But I was like, also like, you don't have to lie. Like, it seems like you guys are close. Like, you clearly know, you've known her for 20, she's been in your home for 20 years.
Yeah. Also, it's like, you don't ever text or communicate. Yeah. Like,
it's weird. That's what made it sound so, like, removed. I was like, why are you making it, why are you, like, canceling out this clear bond that you have?
Maybe Mary's trying to make it sound like she hasn't, like, she's trying to make it sound less weird that her cousin works for her.
Yeah, that's true. That's
but
true.
Actually, she makes it more weird. Because I think Mary probably is also insecure about a lot of things. And then tries like, make it better, but it just makes it worse.
Yeah.
I need more Mary. This show really needs to shift into, like, just the Mary show.
Less everyone else, more Mary.
More Mary, please.
More Mary, more Lisa. So we cut to Justin's birthday party. They gather at the Whitney house and the Whitney Justin house, and they're all
the Whitney.
Okay, this is so weird because they're all behaving like horny college kids and or like high schoolers. And I think it's because they're ex-Mormons and like they were been repressed for so long that they've just been in like a state of party for the last 10 years. And the party has not stopped. They still act like they're like they're partying in a way that like I used to in college, like shots, party, like there. And I think it's because they were, especially him. I mean, he's in his 50s.
In his 50s. He kicks off this night by doing a body shot out of Whitney's belly button.
He goes, sorry, kids, about his kids. I was like, ew. But they're talking in like such horny. They're like, woo, place of woo to the nth.
They go full woo. Whitney goes, I mean, a party bus will bring out the inner slut in pretty much everyone. Like, it really made me miss party bus life because I was just like, I can't wait to just like get on a party bus and like shove my puss in someone's face. Like, and then just be like, woo!
Like,
it's just like ready to go. But they're really doing the damn thing.
I love
that they took a party bus like up a hill to some other person's house, to Catherine's house.
I wrote ex-Mormons are wild.
Ex-Mormons love to party.
Party.
I think that Justin and Whitney are swingers, and I would love to know more about that. Bravo.
I want to know. I kept thinking of Christina Ricci and Monster going, I thought we were going to party to Charlize's Aileen. You said we were going to party. We haven't partied. That reminds me of Justin and Whitney.
It is.
Yeah, they just like took the bus, which is kind of cute. They like just drove around the town and then went
up
the hill. It's
fun. That's a real, that is how you like, that's a true party.
Yeah. I said, I'm feeling their horny love.
Mm-hmm.
Jen's there.
I want your horny love.
I want your horny love. Also, before in the hot tub, Jen's like, Mary won't come on the party bus.
She keeps telling anyone that with ears that Mary won't come on the party bus. Did Jen even go on the party bus?
Yeah, she was there.
Okay. She's Jen like, Mary won't do it. She won't do it. Mm-hmm. You know who won't be coming on the party bus? Mary.
They go to their... So every year, Whitney lets... enlist her rich friend Catherine to let them use her like enormous house. Catherine's the like club person, like she owns all the clubs in Park City.
Yeah, and Heather says that Catherine is the real queen of Sundance, but don't tell that to Lisa. I loved that.
That was funny. Yeah, I'm curious about Kath. I feel like they're all friends with like ex-Mormons who are just like down to party. Like, the party is not stopping. That's what I feel. I feel like Catherine is maybe an ex-Mormon. Can someone verify this who lives in Salt Lake or in the surrounding areas? I want to know more about Catherine. Why isn't she a real housewife?
Mm-hmm. I was, like, ready for her to hop into the mix. I've had a vision of her as, like, friend of.
Yeah, eventually. I want to know more about her. She owns the hottest club in town.
Yeah, like, get Catherine on fucking camera. And I also, yeah, let's blow up this like Mormon, ex-Mormon vibe. Like, I really want, like, I want loud and proud
swinger ex-Mormons.
Yeah.
So they're just like,
maybe
party,
the
party,
show
party
will find its legs. I hope so. Like, there's a lot, there's just so much potential. It's just not being used the right way.
Yeah, the party's kind of a watch. Mary walks in wearing a very amazing outfit.
She's in head-to-toe Chanel, I think.
With tassels galore.
I'm into Mary's fashion now.
Me too.
I'm like, I was iffy on it, but then now she's pulling some looks that I'm just like, yes. And I love how awkwardly, like, you'll look to the side and Mary will just be by herself being like...
Yeah, Mary's...
Like, she'll just dance kind of, like, near a chair. She does, like, a lot of arm, expressive arm pointing.
Very, like, Paula Abdul dance moves. Mm-hmm. And she's there's this one shot of all, there's like a few women who are not together but standing near each other, and they're all drinking Fiji, and I think they're maybe the Mormons or like the religious people of the crew who don't drink, and they're all just going silently going like they're just dancing together alone. But everyone else is getting fucking hammered. Mary and Jen have like a boring confrontation that I'm like,
yeah, whatever. I'm like, I'm over this conversation. Yeah. Move on.
So then we cut to the terrifying Brooks and Meredith.
They're just like kind of prepping for Park City Fashion Week. Brooks is like, I have to pull track shoots for my show. Is that okay? And then the owner of the store, someone is like, sure. And then we find out that neither Seth nor Chloe will be attending Brooks's big debut as a fashion designer.
What about his older brother?
No one cares about him, I guess.
I just wrote, everyone in Park City is afraid of Brooks.
Everyone isn't terrified of Brooks.
Lisa is at an event and she's in full, like we said before, she's in full, like, she's like, I don't pick up any of my kids' phone calls when I'm during Sundance. Like, it's just, I have to compartmentalize, and it's all about my work. My kids come second.
Yeah, and the babysitter, who His looks name, pretty cool.
Yeah, she was like Desi. She's like cute. She's drinking a sugar-free Red Bull.
She's living her Red Bull truth, and she got Buffalo Wild Wings for the kids, which made me jealous. I love Buffalo Wild Wings, and... everyone seems to be having a great time. I'm like, shout out Buffalo Wild Wings. We love you.
Yeah, sponsor us.
We stan. I would love a lifetime supply of corn dog bites. If you're near a Buffalo Wild Wings, I suggest you go right now and get corn dog bites.
There's one down the street from me in Hollywood, and it's closed now. But it was, I know. It was, let me tell you, until
it was
like
popping
2 weeks ago, Buffalo Wild Wings was the spot in Hollywood.
Mm-hmm.
You wouldn't find no less than like 30 people there outside on the terrace.
I drove by that patio a few times and I had severe B-dubs FOMO.
I knew things when things were getting empty there. I was like, things are getting kind of bad.
You're like, COVID's on the rise. Buffalo Wild Wings was the patio. Buffalo Wild Wings was your COVID barometer. You look out with binoculars and you say, what's Buffalo Wild Wings doing today? What's the climate of COVID?
Yeah, I knew things were okay if Buffalo Wild Wings was still crowded. Mm-hmm. So then we...
Then Whitney and Heather go out for kind of a heartbreaking drinks. Yeah,
they have like a... They're like coming off of all the coke they were on the night before and they're just like mellowing out in some cocktails. And they I love that they say that... They talk about how all... They explain that because Mormons run like the business, the commerce, Council of Utah, that they kind of control what restaurants can serve, so they only can serve one pour of alcohol and everything has to be very watered down.
It's like you're in like Australia or like doesn't like the UK or Europe do that too?
I don't know.
I don't think Australia is really intense about that. Like you can't like hard alcohol is really expensive and then you get they're really strict about their pours.
That's why they all drink Foster's.
Foster's Australian for beer. I need more info about this waiter that they had. I would have loved in the vein of a Vanderpump Rules, I would have loved it if the camera just turned and then started following into their world. I would love to see it.
I want to see, I want like a Mormon Vanderpump
I
want to
see like the transgressive, like, hard party wait staff of Utah trying to navigate desperately to get blackout drunk and blow rails in like a heavily Mormon community.
I'm telling you, watch Latter Days.
Okay, yeah, I'm gonna watch that.
They start talking and basically Heather's like, you know, the party was so fun. I love watching you and Justin together because I just see how in love you guys are with each other. But it also it breaks my heart because I've never known that. And I my marriage was basically like a sham.
She chose faith over love. And now she's in like a severe relationship struggle. And I really felt for her when she's like, I want someone to see me for who I am and love me. Like, I want someone to like love and accept every part of me, essentially.
Yeah.
I was like, same bitch.
And she says, she says every single part of me is wrong. And like, I felt so like she feels so defective, I think, because she's divorced and because of the harshness of which her marriage falling apart was kind of seen by the church and her family and like her world. I think she is traumatized by that and just feels like on a molecular level, just feels defective. Which is sad. Yeah. I've been there before about like other stuff and like it's real and you can feel that like just feeling like you're not good deep down.
Mm-hmm.
And the hatred, it's like it's sad. And I appreciate her being so frank, and I think it's obviously Whitney's her cousin, so she feels like really safe with her, but what I like about Whitney is like she is very supportive.
She's really supportive and she'll tell it to you straight.
Yeah. She's like, listen, you need to get like, she's basically like, I hear you, but you can't go through life like this.
Mm-hmm. I have faith in Heather.
I like
that.
That's
a really good, I mean, it's cool that she's willing to do this on television. So I feel like something to latch on to is like, we'll stay tuned to see like if she gets in a relationship or like who she starts dating and what that's like.
Yeah, she's cool. And she says like, I was a virgin before, like until my husband and I married, like I was a virgin. And so he was the only person she ever had sex with. And then she said when we got divorced, like she basically was like, I fucked.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, hell yeah.
Hell to the yeah.
Get your fuck on.
Mm-hmm. Heather's horned up.
Heather just wants
ready to find a man.
Get laid.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So Jen's throwing a bash for her cousin whose documentary is premiering. He asked her if he could use chalet, the Shaw Chalet.
So I guess she threw a party together in like 10 hours, so it seemed.
Or so she says.
Yeah, I'm like, okay. But the party looks really nice, and it actually looked way better than the party she threw for Meredith's birthday. It was like a proper event.
Yeah, and Heather says, like, I love Sundance because it's a brush with the big life. And she says, like, I get to meet people from all different walks of life, and it feels like I'm seeing the world for how it really is. And I was like, Heather, move to L.A. or, like, move to Chicago or something.
I know,
like,
but she can't big city, girl. You have kids with someone, and if they control the money, I mean, you have to kind of stay where they want their kids to stay.
And then, guess who slithers their way into the scene?
Into the Shaw Chalet walks.
I was fucking shocked.
You didn't see the preview for this? I knew that they made an appearance somewhere along the line.
I think I skipped the preview. I was literally, I went, and it wasn't even that, like, it's not that crazy.
It wasn't even a juicy cameo, really, but... It was a cameo nonetheless.
Because things are so up in the air about Vanderpump.
Yeah, so Katie Maloney. Like
Katie and Lala make their Utah comeback.
Yeah, they're Utah natives, SLC natives. And what was made me sad was I was like, oh my God. Like, if things had been normal this year, we would have been either like in the first or second episode of Vanderpump Rules, or it would have been like the premiere of season 9 would have been happening in like a couple weeks.
Yeah,
but now we just wait. Yeah.
But this is as good as we're gonna get for now. But Katie's a Park City native.
Mm-hmm.
So Katie's like fully, is she Mormon?
I don't think so.
But Lala looks amazing.
Yeah, Lala looked incredible. She's glowing.
They come in. They meet Heather. They're like vibing. Heather's like, I'm on a mission to fuck tonight. Mm-hmm. And Lala's like, all right, we have to find you a man.
Yeah, and then Jen, being a good friend, identifies this man Curtis. And she basically like hooks Curtis up with Heather and is like, you two talk. And they really seem to hit it off. And they end up leaving the party together.
Very quickly.
Very quickly. And I was like, it seemed like what he was saying, like he was part of like the crew or something like that. And he was like, oh, I have to go out to the van. So I don't know if they were really going off to like fuck. It seemed like he was like, oh, I have to go outside. You want to come outside with me? But in any case, I hope that Heather just gets dicked down.
Yeah, I just wrote, wow, Heather's game.
Heather has game. She's really funny. She's making him genuinely lol.
Yeah.
And
it's all about this, baby. Like, she's like, she has that like loud, like scream talky voice that you get at a mm-hmm. party when you're a little drunk. And I just thought, I admired her for being so like, this is what it is.
Yeah, I love it.
We're gonna fuck? And he's like, yeah, let's go out in my van.
Mm-hmm. Hey. When you need it, you need it.
And then Whitney goes, I wanted to shout across the party, have good values.
Remember who you are. Return with honor.
Return with honor is what they used to tell us in the Mormon church whenever we would leave the room.
Oh my God. Every time you leave the room, remember who you are. Return with honor. I say that to Tony every time I take him to the dog park and mm-hmm. set him free in the park. Remember who you are.
I'm going to say that to my nephew and niece
mm-hmm.
whenever they leave the room. Remember who you are. Then we get to the morning of hell before fashion. It's like the day of fashion week.
The literal poltergeist begins.
Brooks is getting ready. He's like, they're already really late to their to their show. And Brooks has like a mask on. He's like rifling through shit. He's like, Mom, call them now and tell them we're late.
And Meredith refuses. She says, I'm not going to call on your behalf. Like, you need to make the call.
Yeah.
It's your deal. Like, this is business. Like, you can't just be like late.
Yeah.
Then everything starts satanically going off. The fire alarm, the toilet overflows, the dog shits in the house.
Brooks goes, were you cooking something? He says that like 80 times.
I know. And finally Meredith goes, no, I'm not cooking any. I wasn't cooking anything. I just told you time and time again. And I was like, yes, thank you, Meredith.
And then they get to the event finally. And Meredith and
they're 45 minutes late.
And Meredith and Whitney are getting ready. And this is their interaction.
Let's just try not to trip on the stairs.
Also, Meredith.
This song was used in it.
That song threw me. That song took me out.
So they're getting like their makeup done. This like kind of Linda Perry looking woman is doing their makeup, and Brooks comes out and he's like, do I need to get my makeup done?
Do I need to go to hair and makeup? I'm having an anxiety attack. And then she's like, you look kind of fine, I guess. And he's like, do you notice any problems? And I just wrote, Brooks is annoying. He has a terrible attitude.
Yeah, he's a brat.
I'm like, why are you such a baby brat?
You're 21. Like, why are you so, why is it so heavy? Like, he has like a heavy energy that like brings.
He's kind of an energy vampire as well. You're just like, whoa, I hate being around you. Oh my God, get away from me.
Mm-hmm. I love, no, I'm not cooking anything for the fourth time, Brooks.
Yeah.
And then
we have a really sad moment where like Meredith and Brooks are sitting together and she is like, oh, look, you have a message. And it's literally Brooks' dad sends him the equivalent of a cameo, being like, I'm so proud of you, son. And I was like, whoa.
He's like, this is your mountain to climb. Like, go out there. And he's like, and fucking do it. And then Meredith is like, you know, I feel bad that my kids are sort of in the crossfire of this separation. But she's like, but I have to be true to myself. And then she's like, your dad really wanted to be here. And then Brooks goes, it's fine. My feelings are not important. I was like, I just wrote Brooks, the Antichrist.
Like, what does he care about? It seems like does he really care that his dad and
I
believe he probably cares that his sister isn't there, but I'm like, he doesn't seem to really care about anything.
But I just love that manipulated, it's fine, my feelings don't matter. It's like, okay.
Okay, Brooks.
Shut up.
Go walk in the show or something. I can't handle that kind of like...
Yeah, manipulative.
Monotone, manipulative, Debbie Downer energy. Mm. And also, I would literally be calling a priest if all that shit happened in my house when my son got like a little angry.
Oh my God.
It literally is like, you need to get a crucifix.
Call the priest, bring a Bible and some holy water, and like,
you need to cast out whatever fucking demon has possessed your gay son and return his live, laugh, love gay energy into his soul and body.
Yeah, we need to take care of this Lord of the Flies.
Yeah, this is not right. And also get rid of that fucking bear painting. I'm telling you, no good can come from it.
Mm-hmm.
That's deeply connected to Brooks.
Possessions are real. I feel also, when I lived in Williamsburg and was like rock bottoming, I was like definitely possessed by something.
Absolutely. That bear painting is giving me Ghostbusters 2 vibes.
Viggo the Destroyer.
Viggo the Destroyer has resurfaced in the form of Meredith's bear painting.
Yeah. Get rid of the bear painting and you'll solve your problems.
My hope and dream for this season of Rolesook is that we follow this like possession down the rabbit hole, and like the explosive finale is like Mary casting out the demon of Brooks.
A full exorcism. That's why Meredith went to that church, because she was like, I heard they do exorcism, so I have to,
like, I feel like that's connected, right? Yeah. Like, I think Mary needs to really get in there and like get the spirits moving.
Meredith is like, I want to see if this is a real deal, because I really feel my son is possessed by the seventh king of hell.
Mm-hmm. Things are happening that in my house that I'm not clear on. Mm-hmm. I need to see what Mary's reaction even is setting foot in that house. Like, if she can, like, feel it. Like, what is it? What does the house say to Mary? I need it. If this was building towards that, like, we're slowly laying the groundwork for just, like, fucking horrific, to a horrific climax, would be an A-plus show.
Every Housewives season should end with an exorcism.
Mm-hmm.
That's my opinion.
Yeah, it's time to take things into, like, a supernatural zone.
Yeah. Well, guys.
So, we're on episode 6. There's probably, like... 10 more to go.
Yeah.
I'm like, please, Bravo, do something
do
about
something.
This.
It's an emergency.
Mm-hmm.
Next week is Christmas. This week.
Can't believe it's finally here.
Happy Hanukkah to all those celebrating. I think this might be the last night. Hanukkah.
Mazel.
I hope everyone's having a safe time. You can subscribe to our Patreon to listen to the bonus episodes. There's one out tomorrow.
And yeah, just write in messages on Patreon and email us sexyuniquepodcast@gmail.com. Let me know your thoughts on SLC. Like, are you with me? Are you against me? What do you think?
Are you with me or are you an enemy?
Mm-hmm.
That's what I want.
You're either with me, you're either with us or against us.
And
say a prayer to baby Jesus. And me, Mary Magdalene, or actually Virgin Mary, because I think Mary Magdalene was a different Mary.
She was not a virgin.
No, she was a whore for sure. And I guess that's it.
Bye, y'all.
Bye.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.